Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 18, Peter's confession of Christ. And Jesus is maybe stern, maybe tough, but loving words back to him. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God.
Well, do keep Luke chapter 9 open and those verses 18 to 27. We're going to particularly be looking at verses 23 to 20 and 24, but we're going to have a look at the wider context as well. Consider this story that John Piper tells. It's a true story taken from the February 1998 Reader's Digest. Reads this. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect seashells. Hear that story. Now picture them before Christ at that great day of judgment as he asks them to give an account of their lives. And all they can say is, look, Lord, see my shells? That is a tragedy. That is a wasted life. Have you ever stopped and thought about what you're doing with your life? Are you wasting your life? Will you look back on your life and think, what a waste? I don't want to waste my life. I want my life to be shaped by the gospel. I want my life to mirror that of Christ, so that on that final day as I stand before the judge, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now here's the thing. In order to achieve that, in order to live a gospel-centered, gospel-shaped life, Jesus says, I have to die to myself. Jesus says, you want life? You want life to the full? You want Pepsi Max life? You want life now? You want eternal life? You want a life that brings life to others? You want a life that ultimately glorifies me? You've got to die. You've got to die to yourself. And that goes against every natural instinct we have. Because if there is one universal fear, it's that fear of death. And so what makes those who fear death want to die to themselves? The gospel. Jesus. His example. His death. His resurrection. His ascension. See Luke 9:23? Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus calls us to die to self, verse 23. Jesus calls us to die to self. And he calls us to die to self in the context of his own death. See, have a look at verse 18. He asks the disciples who the crowd say he is. Now, they'll have a pretty good idea because in just the previous verses, Jesus has sent the 12 out and a few others, 72 in total, to go and preach and proclaim his name among the lands. And they come back, and as they're gathering, Jesus says, "Hey, who are the crowds saying I am?" The disciples say, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." And then verse 20, Jesus looks at his disciples. He says, "Yeah, but who do you say I am?" And Peter immediately replies on behalf of the disciples, "The Christ of God." And Jesus then warns them not to tell this to anyone, doing so presumably because at this point they don't know what it means for him to be the Christ of God. Their understanding of Christ is drawn at that point from the surrounding culture. They're kind of imagining a revolutionary Christ, one who's going to kick out the Romans who are oppressing them, and they're going to establish his kingdom here and now. And yet the reality is, as Jesus is about to teach them, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. Jesus will bring life through dying. See verse 22? "The Son of Man will suffer, will be rejected, will be killed, but on that third day, he'll rise again." Jesus' own ministry, Jesus' own life, Jesus' own mission is shaped by a call to death, to die to self. So it's not a surprise then that when Jesus turns to his disciples and says, verse 21, 23, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And to take up one's cross is to die to self. See, cross-bearing in Rome was effectively a public display of a person's submission. The criminal rebelled against the state and was caught and then bore the punishment from it. And the fundamental idea of nailing someone to a cross was that they were submitting to the authority of another. They had rebelled against the state. They had been caught by the state. Now they will be forced to submit to the state as they're now to a cross. And it was public so everyone could see. These people were willingly or not so willingly submitting now to the state. And so for the one who is called by Jesus to take up his cross daily, Jesus is saying, "Follow me, die to yourself, submit your will, your life to me." And dying to self is to put to death one's sinful nature, one's old, self-centered, not interested in God and his ways, self. It's the very nature that we all have that rules our lives before we came to Christ. And Jesus says we're to put it to death and start following his ways. Now that process of dying to self begins the moment I choose to follow Christ. The moment I trust in his death, the moment that I trust him to take the punishment that I deserve for rebelling against God, the moment that I then surrender my life, my all to him. Which is why Paul writes, Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And Paul goes on, Galatians 5:24, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires." Or he writes Romans 6, verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Our dying to self begins that day we start to follow Christ, but it does not finish on that day. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. So every day I have to seek to put to death, to crucify my sinful, selfish, old nature. And crucifixion hurts. It hurt Jesus physically and spiritually. It will hurt us to put to death our old natures. Because so often our old natures have become like a pair of old slippers, comfortable. And they're so comfortable we dread throwing them out in case the new ones are not quite so good. And isn't that not true with our old natures? We quite like some of our old self, our selfish ways, our sinful ways, and we fear the new self or what it will mean to follow Christ and to be ruled by his Spirit. And we slightly fear that in case it means life is not so good. Life is not so fun to follow Jesus. And so we desperately cling on to what we think is comfortable, our old nature. And Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And crucifixion hurts. In fact, and I quote from the Gospel Primer, it's the book that we've all been reading together. He says this, crucifixion is a gasping and bloody affair. And there is nothing nice, pretty, or easy about it. It's not merely death, but excruciating death. And nevertheless, I must set my face like a flint towards the cross and embrace the crucifixion in everything I do. I must seize upon every God-given opportunity to be conformed more fully to Christ's death, no matter the pain involved. Are you willing to crucify your old self for Christ? That old nature, what the Bible calls your sinful nature. Are you willing to do that no matter the pain involved? So when my flesh yearns for some prohibited thing, I must die. So when my old nature desires to do that which I know is wrong, that which God has commanded to be wrong, or my parents have commanded is wrong, I must die. I must put my old nature to death and seek to follow and obey Christ. When called to do something I don't want to do, I must die. So when I'm asked to give up an hour to further the gospel, and I don't want to, I must die and seek to follow Christ. When I wish to be selfish and serve no one, I must die. When I'd rather just sit in and watch TV, when I'd rather just have another evening in, when I'd rather just stay in one more night, even though I've been out once, twice, three times, and I'm called to go out again, I must die. I must die to go and serve others. As Christ served me and gave up all his rights for me. When I'm shattered by hardships that I despise, I must die. So when I'm worn down because I'm ill, my kids are ill, work is tough, life seems overwhelming, and life at times is overwhelming, and I despise all that is thrown my way, and I despise God for bringing it my way, I must die and seek to follow Christ, trusting that his ways are best, and he has allowed it for my good and for his glory. When wanting to cling to wrongs done against me, I must die. So when all I want to do is bear a grudge and nurse my pride and feel sorry for myself, I must die. And seek to follow Christ, forgiving and extending grace as he has done to me. When enticed by the things of this world, I must die. When all I want is to be like those around me, when all I want is to spend my money like those around me, when all I want is to be able to spend my money without worrying whether I should give some away or not give some away, when all I want is to have my house look like those around me, or to drive the fastest, sportiest car, or go on the nicest, most luxurious holiday, or have the biggest and most up-to-date TV, or just to have more money, I must die. I must die and see that the things of this world are nothing compared to what Christ gives me, compared to every blessing in heaven and earth. When wishing to keep besetting sin secret, I must die. So when all I want to do is keep sinning, keep doing what I know is wrong, but hey, no one else knows it and I quite enjoy it, I must die. And I must confess my sin and be held accountable and follow Christ. And when dreams that are good seem shoved aside, I must die. So when of all I've hoped for, children, marriage, a particular job, all good within themselves, and yet they're shoved aside or don't quite happen to me, I must die and trust that Christ has a good reason and is leading me in a particular way for his glory and for my good. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus prayed trustingly on the eve of his crucifixion. And to follow him will mean that his prayer becomes my prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. Let my will, my nature be put to death that I may follow Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor, a teacher who died at the age of 39 in a German concentration camp for opposing the Nazis, wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, this: when Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids him or her come and die. Come and die. Followers of Jesus are called to die to self, are called to put to death their old sinful nature, to put to death their needs and their desires and their wishes and follow Jesus. See, crucifixion is not an optional extra of the Christian faith. It's the centre. It's the heart. And crucifixion is not a one-off event for us. Jesus says it's a daily experience. Daily I take up my cross and follow Jesus. Doing so because his crucifixion was a once-off. So I want you to take a minute and go through the list I've just mentioned on the screen. And I want you to rerun all the reasons you were making why these things didn't apply to you. Why you did not have to die to yourself in those particular situations. And how do I know that you were sitting there making reasons? Because I sit there and justify my behavior too. Now I want you to take those reasons and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those reasons that are legitimate and those that are just excuses. That which is just wrongly excusing our sinful nature and feeding my selfish desires. Ask him to show you what is legitimate and what is an excuse. So, for example, you may reason that this is a particular season of life which means you just can't serve. And that may be legitimate. But it might also be an excuse to not die to self. So take Jesus' prayer, not my will but yours. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you. so that you know that which is true and right and that which is just an excuse. Ask him to convict you where you need convicting. Asking him, which sin or sins do I need to put to death that I just can't see? What is it of my sinful nature that I'm allowing to stay and not crucify because it's comfortable? And once you have an idea, talk with another believer and check you're not deceiving yourself. So take a minute right now. Think through those reasons and ask the Spirit to show you what are real and what are excuses. Now here's the question. Why? Why would anyone die to self and follow Jesus? What possible reason could I have or the Bible offer that would make sense of dying to self? Well, Jesus promises life through death. Jesus promises life through death, verse 24. See, Jesus, having called his disciples to deny themselves, to take up their cross, to follow him, then gives an astounding promise in verse 24. See what he says? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? So here's the deal. If you die to self and submit your life for Jesus, Jesus' promise is you will in fact save it. That through death, you'll gain life. But if you seek to keep your life, i.e. you choose not to follow Jesus or not to crucify your sinful nature, Jesus says you may gain the whole world, but you'll end up dying and forfeiting your very self. Fleeing from death is the shortest path to a wasted life. Clinging to life now is the shortest way to a wasted life, according to Jesus. Yeah, you might seemingly gain the world, but you'll never be content. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never experience life as it was intended. You'll never experience life to the full, although you might think you have. And you know that as I say those things, they ring true. All your wealth does not bring contentment. All your hard work does not satisfy. And ultimately, as many have discovered, you'll look back on your life and you will have wasted it. No one at the end of their life wishes they had more money or worked harder. In fact, for many, there are regrets. Regrets over collecting seashells. Regrets over spending the months each year on holiday, which were fun, but in the end didn't achieve anything of real lasting substance. Regrets over all the money invested in homes and bank accounts and clothes and technology, not wrong in and of itself, but you can't take any of it with you. Fleeing from death is the shortest path to a wasted life. And you can go offer all these things to the world and you can desperately cling to them, but you will waste your life. Maybe you're a non-believer here this morning. Maybe you come here every week. And we love having you here with us. We love having you part of us here on a Sunday. But you're wasting your life. Because you refuse to die to self. And you refuse to submit to Jesus. And you refuse to follow him. And Jesus says you might gain the world, but you will forfeit yourself on that last day. In fact, he goes on, you see verse 26? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. See what Jesus is saying? If you refuse Jesus, he says, he will be ashamed of you on judgment day. On judgment day, he will say, I never knew you. You might have attended church. You might have done lots of good. But you did it all on your terms. You did not die to self. You did not heed my words, says Jesus. And you face an eternity of separation from God, an eternity of what will feel like death. And why have that? When you can have life as it was meant to be. Jesus promises life through death. Die to self, says Jesus, and you can have life, real life, true life, life to the full. John Stott, pastor, Bible teacher, wrote this. Life through death is one of the profoundest paradoxes in both the Christian faith and the Christian life. And yet it's one of the governing principles of our faith and of our life. You see it within creation, don't you? So Jesus says, John 12, 24, he says this, I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. A seed must die in order for life to begin. We see that in creation all the time. But not only do we see this life through death principle in creation, we see it in Jesus. Jesus' death brings resurrection life. We can only have eternal life through his death. Death brings life. Jesus says that same principle that's seen in creation, that same principle that's seen in my death and life, is also true for all who follow me. See verse 24, whoever loses his life for me will save it. Whoever dies to self will save their life. Whoever seeks to put to death their old nature daily will gain life, not lose it. You will not lose out by putting to death your old nature. In fact, you will gain life. In God's economy, death is the way to life. The death that Christ died is the death to which I'm also called. And the death to which I am called is my entry point to union with Christ and life at its fullest. You see, because firstly, we'll save our life for eternity. See, rather than Jesus being ashamed of us on that day of judgment, he'll declare you his co-heir, Romans 8. See, we'll look forward to not just life now, but to life in the new heavens and the new world, a world perfected, a world made new. A world like this one, but better. With life as it was always intended. With bodies that don't get tumours. With bodies that don't age physically or mentally. With life without the stress and anxiety and fear. And life without pain and sin and hardship. And life in a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. Where my desire and my nature will only want to do his will. We'll gain life for eternity by dying to ourselves now. But secondly, by dying to ourselves now, we'll save our life for now. See, verse 24 could be rephrased. You could put it in this kind of language. Whoever is determined to hold on to themselves and live for themselves will lose themselves. But whoever is willing to die, to lose themselves, to give themselves away in the service of Christ and the gospel, will, in the moment of complete abandonment, find themselves and discover their true identity. Discover the very reason they were created, to serve the King and to follow him. And as we do that, we experience life as we were intended to. That's why Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What Jesus is promising by dying to self is not a life of misery. It's life to the full. A life where one can be content and satisfied. A life where one can give all and never feel that life has been wasted. I mean, what greater purpose can there be to life now than to live as we were designed to do? And Jesus says we gain that by dying to ourselves. And then thirdly, through death of self, others will gain life, will be saved. See, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:11 to 12, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And as Paul put to death his ambition, his reputation, and his literal life, others saw the gospel he proclaimed at work in him, and they believed. His death brought life. And as we seek to put to death our will and our nature, and we seek to do what Christ has called us to go and make disciples, we bring life to others by putting to death our sinful natures. So putting to death our fear of man, and putting to death our fear of our reputations being maligned, and fear of death of embarrassment. And we go out and we seek to proclaim Christ. We bring life. By dying to self, not only do we gain life, but others gain life too. Think of all the missionary stories you've heard of men and women who leave all to proclaim the gospel and often dying in the course. But through their death, many come to faith. And we can think in our own lives as well, can't we? Where we've sought to die to self and to be sacrificial and demonstrate love to someone who does not know Jesus, and through that and proclaim the gospel to them, they've come to faith. You die to self and others will live too. In God's economy, death is the way to life. I don't want to waste my life by clinging to my sinful nature, by clinging to self. John Piper, the pastor and teacher, tells the story of when he was a boy, of being in a church service where his father, an evangelist, had just preached. Piper says there was this old man. The church had prayed for this man for decades. He was hard and resistant. But this time, for some reason, he showed up when John Piper's father was preaching, and he heard the gospel. And at the end of the service, during a hymn, to everyone's amazement, he came up and took John Piper's father's hand. And they sat down together in the front pew of the church as all the other people were dismissed. And God opened that old man's heart to the gospel of Christ, and he was saved from his sins, and he was given eternal life. But that did not stop him from sobbing and saying, as tears ran down his wrinkled face, "I've wasted it. I've wasted it." This man, grateful for salvation, also saw he had wasted his life. He had wasted it because he had refused so long to die to self, to die to his sinful nature, and to take up his cross daily and follow. Don't waste your life because you refuse to die to self. Be that as a believer, daily, says Jesus, you're to take up your cross. Be that as an unbeliever, die to self, have life to the full now, have life for eternity. Put your trust in Christ now. Don't get to the end of life and say with this old man, "I've wasted it. I've wasted it." Death is the way to life in God's economy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in your economy, in your world, in your thinking, life comes through death. And Father, we thank you that is true in our Lord Jesus, that through his death we gain eternal life, that we're put right with you. And Father, we thank you that in that as well, he promises us life to the full right now. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us this day to put to death our sinful nature and follow Jesus. Please help us in this, we pray. Please so show us where we are desperately clinging on to our old natures, that we may give them up and follow Christ. Father, help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song that reflects on that very thing. Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow you. Son of man, despised, forsaken, Lord of all, I am or do. Perish every fond ambition, all I sought and hoped and known. Use this as your prayer. Use it as a time to reflect on those areas of life where you have to put to death. Do please speak with someone, particularly if you want to know what it means to put to die to self for the first time. Come and chat with me or Graham or one of the other elders. We'd love to chat with you about that. Please don't go away this morning and just put these things out of your mind. Ponder and think about how you are taking up that cross daily. Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's make that our prayer this week. In Jesus' name, amen.